But the NHL resumed last night after the All-Star break. The Leafs are back in action on Friday. And to chat about it all, we're joined now by our TSN hockey analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Mike Johnson. How you doing, Johnny?
What's up, boys? It's funny, before we get to the hockey, you mentioned the waste management. That place is like unlike any other golf tournament, I think, in the world. Having played in Arizona a few times, a couple of years I was hurt, so I got to go to it, because generally the Coyotes go on the road when that tournament's in town. And it is like a nightclub on grass. It's hilarious. It's like a frat party / nightclub. It's like you'll see the dudes, you know, whatever, you know, with the chugging beers and whatever. You'll see the women in like stilettos and like cocktail dresses. It's just a wild scene at the waste management. It's a lot of fun to, like, even if you don't like golf, it's pretty fun to go just kind of watch the people watching the golf.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's videos every year of at least one guy buckled trying to get out of there.
One, and I love it because, like, they're staggering and you're trying to walk on these hills, but it's almost funnier when you don't have the proper footwear and some of the women with the high heels on. Like, you're going to a golf tournament. Like, what are
right,
we,
exactly.
What are we doing here? Like, I'm all for looking good, dress however you want. I don't care, but just practicality. You probably shouldn't be wearing, like, you know, stilettos, because that's hard to walk on grass. So
that is tough.
It's a beauty scene, though. It's a fun one.
It's got that rep, man. It's got that, like, legit bachelor parties. I know of a few that have been like, we're going down there, setting up shop.
But it's like
party.
A Vegas scene, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
it is.
It's, you know, those pool parties you get in Vegas, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's people getting carried out. I'll never forget. Like, one time we get there, we get set up at a table. This DJ Zedd is playing like right there, and we're enjoying ourselves. Pictures of, you know, vodka, all of that stuff, and there's people being literally wheeled by us, like flat out, like wheeled by us. Like, passed out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, that's what I envisioned with this tournament, this waste management is.
Only there's a professional tournament. Shooter McGavin's out there snapping on people.
Exactly.
Should be called the wasted management.
Exactly.
It's like that, because just across the from the golf course, it's called the Bird's Nest. And it's like, that's where the party's at, Noodles. That's where the concert's going on, and there's, you know, bottle service and all the rest of it. And it's like, you just kind of go over there and do your thing, and you kind of go and stagger around the golf course and do your thing. It is, yeah, it is really, it's worth it. And if you really do it right, Hayes, you'd appreciate this. You go Pro-Am Wednesday, tournament Thursday, Friday, then you quick hop to Vegas for the Saturday, Sunday for the Super Bowl in Vegas. That's the play.
All day. All day. Yes. Yeah. The heavy hitters, that's precisely what they're doing. And then a private jet right out of there after the game.
No, I think the play is just one day, like Thursday, and then play golf all of Friday, watch on TV Saturday, and watch on TV Sunday, and then go to the Super Bowl. Like, as soon as the final putt is dropped on in the living room on Sunday, you just get in the Uber and go to the Super Bowl. That's
this year,
play.
The Super Bowl's in Arizona, so you just take a 30-minute drive. You don't have to go anywhere. But when the Super Bowl's not there, I know a lot of that little private airport, Noodles, you've been up there, that Alltel Ice Den, there's like that private airport right beside it.
Yeah.
It's like the busiest private airport in the world that weekend, because
it's
so
crazy.
Many people are shuttling in for that tournament and then back out to L.A. or back out to wherever the Super Bowl is or back to Vegas.
Do you remember the overhead shot? And wasn't it Brady that did, like, wasn't it the Super something, the Kentucky Derby, and what was it,
it was a fight in Vegas.
It was a fight.
It was Pacquiao
versus Mayweather.
Mayweather, that's right. And didn't they do Kentucky Derby and then right into Vegas? And there was an overhead shot of the private jet terminal in Vegas on the other side of the airport. And there was like a park. It was like a parking jam. Like, there were too many
like
private planes. Like, just
Eve.
Just trying to get in and out there. It was insane.
Same thing in Louisville.
Weekend.
Yeah, it was literally the flight paths of private jets going, because there were a ton of people going to Vegas too,
right?
Or just getting out of Louisville, right? Just like everyone's flying into Kentucky. You go for the Derby and you're gone,
right?
And it's crazy the amount of private jets. Anyway, we had a doozy last night, man. We were talking about it in the last hour, where you how often do you get in Toronto people saying, "Hey, were you watching that Flames Rangers game last night?" But it had everything you need: overtime, goals, hits, fights, controversies. And we were talking about the fights in particular, Johnny, where it feels like like the most likely instigator of a fight in the modern game is the response to a big hit. Like that's like 80 to 90% of fights now. Some guy throws a big hit and someone on the team has to drop the gloves because you don't see a lot of off the draws. You don't see heavyweights in the league anymore. Like, I don't have exact numbers in terms of the percentages, but it feels like a lot of the fights are simply a response to a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, the stage fights are way down. The fighters who go out and fight to try to, I don't know, spark their team or something, which are like predominantly fighter guys, there's just not that many of them left in the league. So, you know, they have a hard time pairing off with each other, sort of have those kind of off the draw, nothing's going on, let's fight because we fight. And so, yeah, you're right. And the kind of hatred fight because we don't like this team or I don't like that guy or, you know, he smiled at the bench the wrong way. Again, those just don't really happen very often. So what are you left with? And I think this is the most common one you're left with is guys in response to big hits. And I don't think they should happen. Like, I know when I've been hit hard, I've had teammates fight in that situation. And I'm not going to lie to you, it feels good. Like, that your teammate sticks up for you like that and gets involved, whoever it might be. But the idea that if you hit someone cleanly, I don't care how hard it is, and especially if he's not Connor McDavid, who probably anytime he gets hit any kind of hard, there should be a response. But if it's a clean hit, Nazem Kadri is a guy who plays physical himself. He's taking his fair share of runs at guys when they're in vulnerable spots. That Jacob Trouba should have to fight? I don't think he should have to. If he wants to, go ahead, and he certainly was ready to. But the idea that he has to, I don't think that he should feel that way.
No, and Johnny, you mentioned it. Well, Kadri is speaking today, and I just read his comments about half an hour ago, and he was asked about the hit by Trouba, and he said, good hit. I took it like a man, got right back up, dusted myself off, and away you go. I mean, yep. You just mentioned it, Johnny. Like, he's a guy who...
Noodles, you should never comment on yourself. Like, someone else should say, the guy took it like a man. You should never...
But
you should never be kind of saying that about yourself.
But that's Nazem like, that's him in a nutshell.
I know,
right?
I know. And I kind of like that about him. It's just a weird thing to say about yourself.
Like, didn't it look like he was like, getting up?
Yeah,
go ahead,
Nazem took that. If he talked about himself in the third person, though. Yeah, Naz took that like a man. And Naz jumped right back up there and got into it. Would he be, be even better?
It wouldn't be surprising if he did that. But it looked to me almost like he was getting up looking to fight.
And I'm sure he would have.
I think he would have. Like, that's what I was going to ask you. I think he would have got up and dropped his gloves in a heartbeat and fought Trouba. And mm-hmm. Was it Coleman that got in there the second time, I think?
Dubé.
Was it Dubé? Okay.
Yeah.
Dubé
yeah.
got lit up in the first period as well, so he probably wanted a piece anyway. So,
these guys skate around with their heads down, it's no wonder more guys aren't getting killed out there.
It's because guys don't hit like that, right, O?
No like, kidding.
And I'm not like, it's not about, back when I played, but when we were playing, like, you knew if you cut across the middle looking to shoot between the tops of the circles, that was a dangerous spot to go, and you had to know what was happening when you went there. Now, I think the guys have been, in many ways, protected by the rules, and that's a good thing, the blind size, those, you know, the rule 1080, whatever it is, like, you know, all that stuff, that's a good thing. But guys have grown up with the expectation that the rules will generally protect themselves, so they kind of skate through there with a lot of confidence and a lot of speed. And the fact that there are fewer and fewer hitters that are there to hit them reinforces the idea that I'm okay to go in there, whether I'm looking or not looking or head down, head up, whatever. And so when something like this happens, which felt like it happened more regularly back in the day, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's a big deal. But guys skate in there 1,000 miles an hour, head down all the time. And you're right, if there was more guys who looked to hit like that, there'd be more violent collisions like that one was.
Yeah, and you see a lot of stick checking, Johnny. Like, that's the biggest thing. I don't know where my head went that night because it was such an amazing goal, but you think of the Rangers-Leaf game. Mitch Marner makes that play and goes around, and if you actually watch Keandre Miller, he's in a position to hit him hard. Like, Marner's driving right to the middle of the ice. He's cutting across the goaltender, and Miller reaches in and tries to go stick on puck instead of taking the body. And obviously it's a, you know, unbelievable goal. Mitch Marner has the flies through the air, a little Bobby Orr picture and all of that. But all I could think about that night is, like, if that was Trouba, I wonder if Trouba takes the body there. Like, you know, and it was such an amazing play. But I think it comes back to there's not many guys who will play that physical game. Trouba, I think guys will know when he's on the ice.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's, and even in big, like Calgary, there's a big, strong guy. It's just they're just not taught to think hit first. They're taught to think go get the puck first.
Right.
Which, again, is not a bad thing. It's just different. It's very different from how defensemen 15 years ago approached the game. And in many ways, that's good. But if you can do both, like how many guys, and I was trying to think about this, like who's left in the league that is a hitter that would get your attention before you play the game? And then when you're talking about, hey, keep your head up, this guy's on their team. Tom Wilson is on the other team.
Yeah.
Radko Gudas is on the other team. Jacob Trouba is on the other team. Like there's just, I'm sure I'm missing a few, but there's just not many guys left in the league where you're kind of worried or like need to be aware that they're out there because they look to do that all the time.
Yeah. No, I think Ben Chiarot will cross-check you. You know,
yeah,
you look
he's not
at
hit you in the open ice, though, right?
No, you're right. You know. There's probably five guys that you could think of maybe off the top of your head where you're like...
Ryan Reeves, if he catches you, he'll kill you, but you know he's yeah. not as good of a skater, but yeah.
Yeah,
just, it's not a long list. And even, you know, the kind of greasy player where there was that element too, like, hey, if he's behind, you know, if the ref's not looking, this guy will elbow you in the head.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. The grease.
Like
ball.
That guy used to exist. Yeah.
Well, Matt Cook comes to mind, and Matt Cook, remember him? Matt Cook played such an egregious game, and then by the end, he had reformed right in front of our eyes, or claimed to, right? Remember,
oh,
like,
yeah.
he was mm-hmm. had the meetings
Noodles,
with the
there
refs.
There was a bunch of guys, like, oh, yeah. the ref. They'd see the ref skating up the ice this way, and they would just two-hand you right in the back of the legs. Like, little abbreviated swing right to the back of the legs, and it's like, chew on that one. Nobody
cameras
saw that.
And social media, and like, there's too many cameras. You can't get
That's
away
it.
With cameras. Anything out there.
No, there was three suspensions a game behind the play with like the run, one ref system. Because the guy would turn his head, look up ice, and all of a sudden it would just be an egregious foul.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And some of the old school refs, like I remember Darius Kasparaitis getting folded like a box in the corner, hit from behind, and Paul Stewart's yelling at him to get up. You're soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
just because he knew that Kasparaitis was a greaseball, he'd be like, yeah. Well, that's what you deserve. Get up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he did, though. That Stewart, you knew it was, you probably heard the story about that, Paul Stewart. When I was in Ottawa, I was playing in Arizona against Ottawa. Wade Redden and I pushing and shoving, two guys who don't really fight very often. And real linesmen come to break us up. We're not going to fight. We're just kind of whatever, being silly. And Paul Stewart's like, nope. These two softies, I'll use other terms, they want no part of fighting. They want to push and stop, push and shove like tough guys. Go ahead, boys, fight. He called the linesmen off to call our bluff. And like Wade and I looked at each other. I'm like, he just challenged us to fight each other. And so sure enough, we had to fight to save our pride from Paul Stewart, who called our bluff accurately. What a
That's
guy.
Great.
Oh, my
the
God.
Ref. The ref.
Yeah.
I demand
right
to
out.
Fight.
Called my bluff like the poser I am. Terrible.
Yeah. You know what would have been incredible if afterwards he goes, two for roughing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I can't even call that a fight.
No, yeah. I'm sportsman-like.
Yeah. 2 out of 10 for wasting my time, not everyone else's time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last night, again, that game of the Garden, it was a wild game. The Rangers win in overtime. But, like, we're into the second half. I think it meant something that Markstrom got the start, and he gives up five. He breaks his stick. He's snapping on the way off. He made an unbelievable stop on Zibanejad to keep it from ending there. And then Lafreniere wins the battle and ends up scoring. But five is five, man. And his numbers have been awful this year. Like, it's got to be very concerning in Calgary.
It does. Noodles, you would know this well. He went through, actually, so his first 2 months, no good.
Yeah.
He went through about 4 weeks where, like, oh, that's okay. Like, he got much closer, not quite to last year, but much closer to being good.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, okay, can you build on that sort of, you know, December, January run where you were better and start your home stretch well? And, yeah, he made a couple nice saves, but he also looked, like, out of it on a couple of goals against, like, you know, some of them were nice plays, but you know, that overtime goal, he was, I know it was a rebound and everything else, but he was swimming something fierce. And I think that, you know, when people talk about what does Calgary need, like, I think they what they need more than anything is for their players on their team now to play as well as they can play.
Yeah.
And I think that means Huberto, he can't be underachieving, and that means
Lindholm.
Markstrom, Lindholm, like these guys all have to just play to their ability. And if they do that, same thing. Like, they will be fine because they got a whole bunch of good players that are maybe not quite at that level. But what I was thinking, though, guys, what happens if Markstrom, in his fit of rage at the end of the game, which I get, I've broken many sticks and I've hit teammates when they break.
Hits the ref.
What if that thing hits the ref? That boomerang catches the ref.
Did you see the ref's face, too?
Like, yeah.
He let it go. He let it go. But, yeah, that went flying by. I thought the same thing. I'm sure we all had that same instinct, right?
They got a suspension? Like, what do you do there?
Yeah. Well, it has to be, probably.
To
be,
I think, right? You have to suspend it. You have to protect the refs. I mean, you have to.
Obviously, it would be an accident, but you still have to be in control of what you do. I mean, we've seen accidents go sideways where a guy slashes a post. Not Yandel. Who was
Keith
the guy?
Ballard got Thomas Vokoun.
Yeah, Thomas Vokoun in the head.
Got Hamannik earlier this year.
Yeah, I did that game that we were. That was a tough thing to watch. Like, Shabbat's pissed and he goes to take a swipe at the ball.
That was
I felt so bad. And tried calling it live. I was like, oh my God, I did the Sam Rosen. I'm like, can't believe what I just saw. Like, it was unbelievable. It happens, but you're right. Like, I've broken many sticks we have, but if that hits the ref, that could go sideways really quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You got to penalize it. Was it Djokovic? What did he do to a ref run up and he got kicked out of the tournament?
He went to hit a ball against the back wall of the U.S. Open, mishit it, and
hit
caught
the
ref in the throat.
Yeah, yes. The juggler.
Apple,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That one hurt, and he was out.
He got punted from the tournament that he was a massive favorite to win.
Johnny, you got to admit, like, no disrespect to anybody involved, but there's no way that the way he put that ball back there could have caused that reaction.
No, but it's like, that's what people do. And, like, remember when Dennis Rodman nudged the photographer with
his
foot?
Right in the nuts. He kicked him in the nuts under the basket.
He's getting stretchered out of the building. Come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that, like, showing up with a neck brace after getting bagged doesn't really make sense. But in the States, it does. In the States, it can.
You know why? Because it's like the minute Rodman kicked him in the junk, he's like, I just made $100,000.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a business transaction.
Like, that was flat out a business transaction.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, $100,000 right there for a kick in the pills.
There you
That's
go.
It.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Well, on that note, Johnny, we'll leave it there, and we'll catch up later in the week. Thank you for this.
Enjoyed that as much as a kick in the pills.
As you should, yes. You generally do on this program. There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. We'll catch up with Howard Beck of SI. What is he hearing on the Raptors? Fred, Siakam, OG. Do the Raptors hold the keys to what everything else is going to, you know, transpire throughout the NBA? We'll get you those answers and more. Howard Beck will join us next.